Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hallelujah. Welcome to another episode of The Miracle Man here on Tuesday, July 30th of 2019. And I'm your host for The Miracle Man. I mean, I'm your host for this evening, as usual, as I am The Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, accessing this program from tonight. Maybe you're driving. If you're driving, I hope you're paying attention to the road. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're just sitting at home listening to me. Maybe you're, who knows? But I'm here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road. And you can feel free to come in and say hi to me. Last night, we had two different people came up to me right as I was doing my program last night and thanked me for the great work I'm doing, for this great show. For those of you who heard last night, you heard that prayer. Last night was just awesome. And that was totally God that happened. And that was just amazing. But you can always feel free to say, come to McDonald's and say hi to me. I'm up near the front of the restaurant. We have my equipment out. And in a nice cold glass of Coca-Cola with no ice in it. And we all know how great Coca-Cola is, but I mean, especially Coca-Cola from McDonald's, but you may not know that when the Coca-Cola or any other beverage comes out of the fountain dispenser, it is already pre-chilled. Well, you think, well, Miracle Man, sounds a little cheesy. Don't you have something a little more important to get to? Yeah, about the whole ice thing. Some people love ice. You know, they love chewing the ice cubes and that. Not me. I mean, if there's ice in my water or something, I don't chew on the ice cubes. But like in your pop, in your soda, ice not only takes up space so you can't fit as much soda into the cup, but it also waters down the soda you're drinking a bit, especially as the ice is starting to melt, makes it be not quite as fizzy, not quite as sweet. Those two reasons combined are why I always select no ice. When I'm getting a Coca-Cola. Now, that's just my personal. If someone can find a way to make ice that promises not to water down your beverage, even ice that's actually sweet tasting ice, I think sweet ice would be kind of cool. Maybe they could make some ice cubes that taste just like Coke. And when they melt, they become just like regular Coke. I think that'd be pretty awesome if they had that. But you can go to McDonald's and get an any size soft drink for the low price of just $1. And my lid today said, "Sip for joy." I don't know how you're going to sip your Coca-Cola for joy under the Lord. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe if you throw in a hallelujah there every time you take a sip, maybe that'll work. But I think sip for joy on the cup just means, like, you know, enjoy an ice cold soft drink of your choice, whether you choose the classic Coca-Cola like I do, or you're like Preacher Man and you choose the doctor. In which case, there will be no condemnation if you choose Dr. Pepper. It's just that the Coca-Cola has some stuff that Dr. Pepper doesn't. And I'm convinced that when Coca-Cola goes up to bat, if Coca-Cola is a team or a batter, he goes up to bat in the ballpark. Let's see here. Swinging a high fly ball deep into left field. Way back and out of here. Home run. Dr. Pepper goes up to bat. Swinging a pop up. No, let me change it. Line drive deep into center field. Back he goes, and he makes the catch. As the batter just got knocked right out right there, tagged out. Couldn't get there in time. So if you want to hit the home run, you got to go with the Coca-Cola or any of the flavored ones, whether it be cherry, vanilla, or the new orange vanilla that came out in March. It might still be going. It might have been a limited time. Is it still going that you know of, or have you not seen it as much anymore? The orange vanilla Coke. Cassidy.
Sorry, were you asking me something?
I would say, is the orange vanilla Coke still back on, still going, or have you not seen it as much lately?
I'm not sure.
When was the last time you saw it?
Oh. Probably probably a month ago, but I haven't really been anywhere to look for it.
Oh. But if it's still going, I don't know, because I'm more of a vanilla myself. But when you got Coca-Cola, you're always on the winning team. And speaking of baseball and team, I'm going to talk about who I think the Tigers could possibly end up trading. As trades have to be done by tomorrow. That's right, tomorrow. Because tomorrow is July 31st. Can you believe it's basically August already?
Year's going by way too fast.
Yep. In one way, I feel like July's, thankfully, it's going by nice and slow. But in another way, it's like, really? It's just about August? But when I think about it, in my mind, maybe you would disagree because you don't like the warm weather as much, but I think it's been pretty nice this month. It's been generally relatively sunny. We've had a few cloudy days here and there, but the sun's generally, with the exception of maybe yesterday and possibly another day and another day, generally most days, if it has been out all day, it's come out real good, at least at some point. So it's been pretty nice all month, generally. And it looks like that'll continue on into the first, that I know of, at least the first 6 days of August. So, and we'll be looking at highs in the upper 70s tomorrow, moving up to the mid 80s by the weekend and staying there to early next week. So, generally just great summer weather, which is always a great thing when you have that. And you better enjoy it because summer in Michigan doesn't last very long. Unlike in Alabama, Georgia, other places where it seems to last more like 5 months. Here it's about three. But one of the best parts of summer going on right now is that up here in like the upper Midwest, it's fair season right now. In many parts of the South, they tend to do the fairs in like October and such, but we got the Midland Fair in 2 weeks. We have the Saginaw County Fair this week. Bay County's next week. And a lot of fairs all over Michigan. And in case you didn't know, my go-to fair foods generally, corn dog, vinegar fries, elephant ear. I could care less about the caramel apple. It's not deep fried. You can come on your own apple at home. By the way, Cassidy, what's even special about the Fair Caramel apples?
I don't think there's really anything too special about them. It's the caramel apples.
I think the corn dog is more special than the caramel apple.
Yeah.
Don't you? Because you can't just go to a restaurant and have a corn dog. Unless you order an off that dog on kids menu. But
I like eating the giant baked potatoes.
Yeah, but the vinegar. What about the vinegar fries? The vinegar fries are awesome. Don't you like vinegar fries?
I do love the vinegar fries. I usually always get vinegar fries, a giant baked potato, and an elephant ear, and usually like Polish dog or something on those lines.
I think the Polish dog is probably like a kielbasa or something.
Yeah, I get them for free
because
I know who works
for
the stand.
Oh, man. Where's the stand?
Right on the midway.
Over by the what?
Well, it's like right at the beginning of the midway, like the Nagel's stand.
Is it at Nagel's?
Yes.
Is it the one like near the kiddie rides, kind of?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Is that where you get your vinegar fries?
I get my vinegar fries from the French fry stand.
Redbone?
No, the one on the midway.
What about Fisky fries?
Yeah, that one.
Yummy. Yep. 2 weeks away. Two weeks away, listeners. It'll be time to eat some vinegar fries and how is the Polish dog different than anything else you've had like throughout the years? How is it different?
It's just like big Polish sausage with sauerkraut and stuff on it. It's really good.
How is it carny like compared to the corn dog? Or do you think the corn dog is more carny type?
I don't know. They're both sold at the same stand. So I don't know.
Something about a corn dog I associate more with the carnival. Have you ever seen like foot long corn dogs?
No, I haven't.
I had one time at the Ionia Free Fair. And I wish they'd come to Midland. I wish there was just a food pass you could buy, and it was like all you can eat at various stands.
I would definitely take advantage of that.
I would too. Like to go get a corn dog, maybe some vinegar fries, maybe some. If they got some special cheesy fries that are different than anything I've had. What I hope is that would be a certain amount, maybe 25 or something, and it was just like a voucher for $25 in free food or whatever. And that way it's not like you have to use it all in one day, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how I would do it, is it'd be like an all-you-can-eat voucher, for, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it would be, yeah, I'm like, because that's one of the great parts of the fair, is the food. And then, to me, not just riding the rides, but even, like, hearing the kids all screaming and that when they're on them and all that. I'll get into more of that, though, in a couple weeks when the fair actually comes. Last year, one of the nights, I actually did one of them at the fair, like outside of the 4-H at one of the picnic tables. And I just talked to those who called in and stuff.
That's
awesome. And it was pretty, And it was pretty neat. I was just sitting down there and that time is coming. Now, we'll tell you real quick how to tell others how to be a part. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go to Jonah chapter 1. So for where we're going to study tonight, just put a bookmark in Jonah 1. Now, listeners, I want to encourage you, please, tell those that you know about the show. Maybe you run into somebody at work, or maybe you take your kids to the community pool or something like that, and maybe you see somebody you think they might be interested. Here's what you can tell someone about how they can be a part of the show. The number to call, what this show is about is, for example, I am called Miracle Man because I believe in miracles. God has done so many miracles in me, and I believe he's going to do a lot more miracles in me. And so that's why it's called the Miracle Man Show. We're real people. We have real problems, but we serve a real God. Amen. And amen. And I'm not a Bible thumping bully. I'm just someone who really loves God, loves to teach the gospel. And also, another thing you should know is I am very big into sports. My dream job has always been to be a sportscaster, commentator, stadium announcer of some kind at for either a radio station or in a stadium. And so we always take a little bit at the end of the show and talk some sports. And then during football season, I do something called Football Central a couple days out of the week and discuss some of what's happening in the NFL, as well as some of what's happening in college football. And I make predictions, like the Wednesday before. And then the Monday, I come back, we go through the games, and I do a scorecard. And generally, more often than not, I am 50% or better. Only there was a time that I didn't get any of them right. But that's just a little bit about me. So, and I'm a man of prayer too. So, if you want prayer, you can call in. I'll pray with you. The number to call in and talk to me, or even to just call in and listen, the number to call into the show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. And then my assistant will answer the phone, and she will let me know we have a caller. And just tell her who you are and where you're from so that I can identify you properly. And then after which I'm going to let you on the air. And you can just have your say. And I'll say, like, what say you? Like Bill O'Reilly used to say. All right. Now, as I said a couple minutes ago, we're going to pray. And then we're going to open up our Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening tonight. I thank you for these wonderful listeners who have made a determination to join into this program, to learn something from you tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that every one of them, these people, receive something. Whatever that need is, may it be met tonight as a result of listening to this show. May this lesson tonight, as I'm going to teach, may it bless someone and get someone back on the right path toward you, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, I thank you that you used me tonight. And I allow you, Jesus, I permit you to just gain full course on this next little while. I give you permission to just interrupt me and do whatever you want to do, Holy Ghost. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Lord, I thank you. I make my confession over the show that sponsors and partners come into the show, that finances come into the show, increases in listenership come to the show. And most importantly, Lord, I thank you for souls coming into this radio show. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Now, as I said a couple of times prior, we're going to Jonah chapter 1. Once again, that is Jonah chapter 1. If you went to Micah, you went too far. And just want to encourage you for the next little while. Whatever I do, you do. I do it here at McDonald's. For the next few minutes, you just do whatever I'm doing. Come on. Now I'm in chapter 1, verse 1, NIV. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. However, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for port. After he paid his fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish in order to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, little g. And they threw the cargo into the sea in order to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let's cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and they fell, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven." Notice what he said there. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven." The Lord that he fled from. I'll pause. The Lord who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, "Then what have you done?" They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea." He replied, "And it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come to us, has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they couldn't. And the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please do not let us perish. Do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." And they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. We're going to go over the first several verses of verse 2 because I want you to see this prayer. swim inside the fish. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swelled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished. I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. By the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it removed Jonah onto dry land. Okay. All right. Now, let's discuss this. So, God commands Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach against it. Because its wickedness comes right up to me. And I know how wicked it is. And it was a city of about 85,000 people. But Jonah chose to not go. Instead, rather than just, I'm not going to go, I don't want to do it, I'm just going to stay at home and watch my Sports Center, watch my football games, play on my Xbox. Which they didn't have in those days, by the way. Rather than do that, he got on a ship and went to sail 3,000 miles in the opposite direction. That'd be like if from here God told you to go to Key West, Florida. and instead you go out to Portland, Oregon. Total opposite direction. Because that's well over 2,000 miles, Portland is. Key West's about 1,600 miles. Now, I don't know how far Nineveh was from where he was. I do know, however, that that Tarshish was 3,000 miles the other way. And Jonah got on that ship going the other way. But then suddenly a storm started. And all these people on that ship, they were starting to wonder what was going on. They threw stuff overboard. They threw their cargo overboard, but it didn't make a difference. Instead, it just got wilder, 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 and wilder. Stronger. The waves got bigger. The wind got stronger. When the captain of that ship goes downstairs to where Jonah is, and he says, "Jonah." And he says, "Sir, get up. Wake up. Call on your God." With a little G. Because they think Jonah doesn't serve the real God. They think he serves someone else. And then he gets up, and then they cast lots to see who caused the mess, who caused the storm. They cast lots. Turns out, Jonah. And so they're all calling out to their gods. But that doesn't do anything. The waves just get bigger, bigger, and the winds are stronger. And it just gets really rough. And what you eating?
Nothing.
No, just hearing some, I guess. Sorry. But anyhow, that wind is just getting stronger and bigger. And they say, "What should we do?" Throw me overboard. And then they're like, "God, don't let us be responsible for throwing him over, taking his life." And then they throw him over. But God provides a whale to swallow Jonah. After he's thrown into the sea, just like that, the storm calms down and stops. And the sea goes right back to normal. To where there's still waves and there's still some wind, but it's just normal sea conditions. But and then Jonah begins to pray from inside the whale. And he talks about how, my help is from the Lord. My hope is in you. You helped me. You delivered me. You saved me. God hears Jonah's prayer. And after 3 days, the whale just chucks Jonah out and puts him out there on dry ground. Only God could make a whale do that. Otherwise, if he got rid of Jonah right there, Jonah would have to swim for a long ways to get to land. And then, after which Jonah goes to Nineveh. And we'll look at that another time. But what I want to run across is this. Jonah ran away from the Lord. He told people he had ran away from the Lord. Why did he run away from the Lord? Why did he choose to do that? I don't know. Maybe he thought the assignment was too big for him. And I don't know what he was going to Tarshish to do. Maybe he was going to preach in Tarshish. And even if he went there and actually preached, that wouldn't have been obedient. Because if God says, go do mission work in Brazil, for example, and instead you go to do mission work in Hungary. Though you may be doing mission work and it might be good stuff, it's not in the will of God. God has given all of us an assignment, whatever it is. He's given us a calling, and then he gives us assignments. For some of us, it may be, I call you to be a mom, and my assignment on you is to, and here's what I want you to raise these kids, and he tells you how he wants it done. Others of you, your assignment may be to go to mission work, and he tells you where he wants you to go and do it. Some of you, God tells you to go preach in places, like how God told Jonah. Now, he ended up obeying, but that is what's called delayed obedience. Well, what's the matter with delayed obedience? I want to obey God, but I got this to attend to first. Well, Jonah went the other way. He ran from the Lord and got swallowed up by a whale. How'd that work out? Yes, he came out of the whale alive, and then he went and obeyed the Lord. But he didn't do it when God commanded him to do it. You know, God gives you an instruction, and when he wants you to do it, whether it be to go somewhere, to start something, whatever it is, if he tells you when to do it when he tells you to do it. What I mean by that is, if he says, do this in 6 months, then do it in 6 months. he says, do it, like, now, as soon as possible, then do it then. And should be paying attention to the voice of God so that you can always hear what he wants you to do. For many of us, our assignment may be very much ongoing. Where he gave us an assignment, and it's just ongoing for a while. And they'll just nudge you and be like, that's great, or change this, or... whatever. But you should always let the Lord be your guide as you follow him and do what he says. Because God blesses obedience. However, he does not bless disobedience. That's why that storm came upon Jonah. Because at that point, he was being very disobedient. And then Jonah tells all those sailors on that ship, well, I worship the one and only true God. In my mind, I'd be like, well, and you're running from him right now as you say that. And then he admits, right, you know that it is his fault. That's why he said, throw me overboard. And I don't know if they literally threw him overboard 2 minutes later, like, or maybe it was like the next second, like it makes it sound like, might have been a couple hours, but it continued to get rougher and rougher and rougher until they finally, well, we got to do something. So they throw him over. And he doesn't die. But he chose, but then after that, when he's in the whale's belly, he just cries out to God. So my challenge to you tonight is, you know, what are you trying to run from? You should be running from the devil, not running from the Lord. You should be fleeing the devil. Taking authority over him. Not going towards him, running with him. But running away from him. Not running from God. Amen. Now, Lord God, I just pray right now that you would bless this word tonight. Thank you for this word tonight that we preached. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will hear your voice, God, and that we will always obey you the first time. The first time. And not just when we think we should, but always. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the Tigers get a rare win last night over the Angels, 4-3. Miguel Cabrera hit his first home run since July 4th. So, the night after same night where I basically kind of said, you know, Miguel Cabrera's best days are well behind him. They should just, you know, take their losses and move on. Then he hits a home run. My hope is that he can just keep, can just hit some more of those. They try for another win tonight in Los Angeles. Game starts just after 10 o'clock. You can hear it on 104.9 or on 97.7. Or on 790 AM WSGW. I think now people who could be traded. I think Matt Castellanos, it's possible that either he could be traded or Shane Green. I think the most likely trade scenario is Matt Boyd gets traded to Houston or New York. Now, trade deadline is tomorrow, either at 4 o'clock or at midnight. Because at one time it had been midnight, and then it became 4 o'clock. I will, if the deadline is 4 o'clock and all the trades are already made, I will make sure to let you know tomorrow night on the show what the trades are, who we got in return. And my hope is that we get somebody that we can start right away so that we can try to at least not be the worst team in baseball like we are right now. And we're going to have to start winning more games at Comerica Park. That's the bottom line. We're going to have to start winning more games at Comerica Park. The Tigers are. Now, Lions news. First preseason game of this season is August 8th. Once again, that is August 8th. So that is the first game. Preseason. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.